We have this story about the healing of the centurion's servant, or boy, in both Matthew and Luke. And it's slightly different, because that's the prerogative the gospel writers have to write the story in a way that shows us aspects of it that the other one doesn't show. Here, first there's the humility of the centurion, who is the military governor of Capernaum. You know, he's more than the chief of police. And he sends an embassy, according to Luke. In Matthew, he comes himself. But in either case, he's asking for the health of this slave, or boy, probably a slave, in Matthew. And when Jesus says, well, all right, I'll come, in either situation, centurion says, no, I'm not worthy of that. I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof. And he gives this story, which is the longest discourse of anybody besides Jesus in the Gospels. This speech of the centurion. And he says, look, I mean, I know what authority is, and you have authority. You have authority to just dismiss this sickness, this close to death sickness of my slave. Just say that word. That's all I'm asking. And Jesus says, I haven't found that kind of faith anywhere in Israel. Here's this pagan, and who wasn't brought up as the fruit of one millennium of my father's work in Israel to prepare people to understand this. It's a centurion. He could be, he could be a Syrian, because these are probably all occupation forces. They're not going to bring everybody from Rome to look after Capernaum. But he could be someone else like that. Well, however he is, he understands Jesus. Now you know that we take this prayer of the centurion and changing it a little bit, we all say this every day. Lord, I am not worthy that you should have come under my roof, and you should come to me, only say the word and I'll be healed. Every day we repeat this faith. Well, we should think about this. Now, this is the faith of this pagan who doesn't know much, but he knows that. He knows that Jesus has authority and that somehow he's connected with the divine world and he has reverence for that. We know that Jesus is the living, eternal Son of God. And that he comes to us every day, body and blood, soul and divinity, every day. Now, faith is not the same as enthusiasm. Stir up your faith doesn't mean just grind up some more emotion. It means yield to the truth and the implications of the truth. So that when we come to this point in the liturgy today, I'm going to stop and let everybody really quietly yield to the truth. The Holy Spirit is here working with us, in us, through all this liturgy, through the prayers we've said, the songs we've sung, the word of God we've heard, to prepare us to receive Christ, who does come and who does heal us. Not at a distance, but by the touch of his body and blood. And so, let's prepare for that. And just realize, you know, the Lord, there are sins in our lives. And the Lord, very often, before he wants to heal us, of whatever, emotional, physical, whatever, he wants us to look at that sin. As we just heard in the gospel yesterday, right? One contribution that boy made, the prodigal son, if you heard the whole gospel yesterday, the one contribution that that boy made was he acknowledged, I have sinned, and he set out to return to his father. That's all. And he was totally reinstated as a son. Totally. So let's just acknowledge our need and say, Jesus, I know that you can do something. Whatever you need to do in my life today, you will do when I receive you.